so sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go, oh, where could I go, seeking a refuge for my soul?
Scripture reading before the lesson this morning is Romans, the first chapter, verses 24 through 28. I'll give you just a minute to turn there if you'd like to read along with me. Paul is describing the moral depravity of man in general, the Jews in particular, the Gentiles in particular, as we read beginning in verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet.
Good to see you all this morning and good to be here. Thankful that it's the first day of the week and that we as like precious faith can come together and worship God in spirit and in truth. John 4 and verse 24, God is a spirit and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I've been charged this morning with the topic, teaching on the topic of homosexuality. The title of the sermon is this, and homosexuality, God says it is sin. And so when we start that, I thought best to address the children among us first. When we talk about homosexuals, we're talking about people among whom are men that would desire another man to act toward them as a wife would. When we're talking about females who are homosexuals, they are individuals who desire another woman to act toward them as a man. A husband would act toward them. And that's kind of weird. When we think about dolls, we think about Barbie and Ken. And so for the homosexual, it's not Barbie and Ken, but rather Ken with Ken or Barbie with Barbie. And these individuals that are homosexuals, whether they be lesbians or gay, in the Bible, the men would be called sodomites. They think that two daddies can establish a family. And the women think that two mommies would make up a family and could establish a family. But the truth of the matter is that in reality, the homosexual knows that two daddies can't make a family. And two mommies can't make a family. But the fact of the matter is, they either, one, don't know God's law, or they don't like God's rules, and they're sick, consequently, in their mind. It was by God's design that we follow after His ways, not after the ways of sin. The apostle wrote to those in Ephesians chapter 4, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness," Ephesians 4, 17 to 24. It was God that from the beginning intended one man and one woman for life. Jesus was asked a question tempting him in Matthew chapter 19. And in verse 4 he says, "Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother." Listen to what he says. "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore there are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder," Matthew 19, 4 to 9. So God purposed one man and one woman for life, or as we sometimes say, until death do us part. And we find that clause in Romans chapter 7. It's actually teaching concerning leaving the old law and being married to Christ in obedience to the gospel. But there is truth there taught concerning the marriage relationship. Romans 7 and verse 2, "The woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she shall be married to another man, she should be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she be no adulteress, though she be married to another man." Romans 7, 2 and 3. And so, now, having said that, we turn to the adults. When we think about the topic of homosexuality, according to the CDC, so I went to cdc.gov, I found their report. It was a National Health Statistics Report, number 77. It was published July 15th of 2014. It was Sexual Orientation and Health Among U.S. Adults. It was the National Health Interview Survey from 2013, so I suppose they did the survey in 2013 and then published the results in 14. It found this. Among U.S. adults, and I read, "Among U.S. adults aged 18 and over, 97.7% identified as straight, 1.6% as gay or lesbian, and 0.7%, yes, less than 1%, 0.7% as bisexual. If you look at the population of the United States, as of yesterday, it was somewhere around 322,071,000. And that's all individuals. But if you calculate the percentages, we could say roughly about 5 million homosexuals then. And of that number, then the 0.7% that were bisexual, that is, they like boys and girls, about 2 million bisexuals. The report was how that sexual orientation then affected health among adults, and they looked at a few things. They found this. There were many things that they looked at, but they found this, that homosexuals were more likely to drink alcohol and to smoke. And the individuals that were bisexuals, about 2 million of them among us in the United States, among bisexuals when compared with those who identified as being straight, and that would be they believe that a family would be made by a male and a female, just as God said. And there's more to that, scriptural marriage, by the way. Bisexuals, when compared to those who identified as straight, were more likely to suffer from serious psychological distress. Well, that seems a consequence of your actions, doesn't it? They're confused. Likewise with the gay and with the lesbian. The source, as I said, was cdc.gov, and so hopefully reliable there. When we define terms, according to the Bible, the sodomite was one who practiced the unnatural vice, as we read in Romans chapter 1. Who says it's unnatural? Leaving the natural use of the woman. God says it is. The sodomite was one who practiced the unnatural vice for which Sodom became noted. Zondervan's Pictorial Bible Dictionary. Sodomy was the use of the male temple prostitute. And it was borrowed from heathenism and found its root in heathenism. According to Webster Dictionary, the homosexual is, or a homosexual is of or characterized by sexual desire for those of the same sex as oneself. As Webster defines homosexuality. I have one point in this sermon and many thoughts under that point. The one thought is this: God strictly forbids homosexuality. That's where we stand. Where we go with man's ways or with God's ways. When we look, turn to God's word, we find that God strictly forbids homosexuality. It was that way under the patriarchal law. It was that way under Mosaical law. It is that way now under the dispensation of Christ or under the doctrine of Christ. Maybe the first act of such, though maybe we're not certain that this is what this was. At a minimum, you remember that Ham saw his father's nakedness. You go to Genesis chapter 2, after they'd left the ark, we read in Genesis 9 in verse 20. Genesis 9:20, and Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. He drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered in his tent. Of all we know about Noah, I'll suggest to you that he was ignorant of what was going to come upon him by drinking of the wine thereof, that it was fermented and what it would do. But nonetheless, we'll go with what the record states. And Ham, the father of Canaan, that's important because there's going to be a curse after the things that happen. And here, Ham, the father of Canaan, so his descendants would be the Canaanites. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. Seems like there's maybe more to that. Some suggest that it was possibly some homosexual act committed by Ham upon his father. Don't know that I could prove that for you. Some suggest such. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. Don't know the extent of that. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall be unto his brethren. Shall he be unto his brethren. So Genesis 9:20-25. Interesting to me, Ham was on the ark. He had firsthand knowledge of the flood that destroyed the world, but eight souls and the animals that were there with them. Firsthand knowledge. I'm convinced also that he was taught concerning why those things took place. Now, why do I say that? Because after they had left the ark in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 8, God spake not only to Noah and gave instruction, but also to his sons. Surely Noah imparted information as to why these things happened. The Bible says in Genesis 6, and Noah knew these things firsthand because God spoke to him concerning these things. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made man upon the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Genesis 6, verses 5 to 7. And what about Sodom and Gomorrah? You would think that in a short, and I say we haven't, the United States hasn't been around this long, I don't suppose, 450 years. But you would think a worldwide flood might be known amongst people even 450 years later. But when we turn to Genesis chapter 19, we find that the people of Sodom and Gomorrah had taken up the same mind. Every imagination of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. So we turn to Genesis 19 now. Verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. You remember that the Lord in Genesis 18 and the two angels stopped at Abraham's tent. As Abraham was sitting in the door, and the Lord stayed to speak with Abraham and tell him concerning things that would come to pass. And Abraham, you remember, asked concerning the possible righteous individuals in Sodom and Gomorrah. And the two angels, they went on down to Sodom and Gomorrah. We find them there. Verse 1. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto his house, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young. Both old and young, all the people from every quarter, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. Their desire was sodomy. Lot went out the door and said unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray ye, brethren, do not so wickedly. They didn't just want to introduce themselves, else he wouldn't have said, Do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out to you, and do ye to them as it is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon him, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. The actions of those individuals, from their actions, and that story comes the name Sodomite and the thought of sodomy. As you read on, you find in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 24, and the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities. First part of verse 25. Verse 29, God destroyed the cities. Why? Because of their sin and the ugly nature of it. So, we find under the patriarchal law that homosexuality was sinful. Likewise, by the way, it is forbidden under the law of Moses in Leviticus 18 and verse 22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Leviticus 20 and verse 13, if a man lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. Abomination there is defined by Vine's New Testament Dictionary as loathsome, detestable. Abomination defines something, Vine says, or someone that is dangerous, sinister, and repulsive to another. To God, homosexuality is abomination. It's repulsive. It's dangerous to us and sinister. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Leviticus 18 and verse 22. If you turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy 23 and verse 17, there shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Now, granted, sodomy was usually in connection with the heathen worship. Sadly, God's people took up the practice. In Solomon's folly, because of Solomon's folly, his son had trouble and was infected himself, and likewise also the people. Now, I'm not saying that Solomon was a homosexual, but listen to what the Bible says about Solomon's folly. We know that he was a wise man, but in his old age, he was not. And in things he did, he showed himself to be ungodly. That is, he had the improper respect for God and spiritual things. Listen to what God says about him. 1 Kings 11, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. Solomon's folly. And he had 700 wives and princesses and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. And it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord as did David his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. And he commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, Forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my commandment, or my covenant, and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Solomon's folly infected his son, and it infected the people. We find that even the sin of sodomy is found amongst God's people. Turn to 1 Kings, then that's chapter 11. Turn to chapter 14. Verse 21, and Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there, and his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. Solomon had forgotten something, hadn't he? If you turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 7, Deuteronomy 7 and verse 1, God told the people, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou, when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt not make covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter shalt thou not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. Solomon's folly infected his son and the people. Rehoboam was from an Ammonitess woman named Naamah. And Judah did evil. So I'm back in 1 Kings 14, verse 22 now. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed above all that their fathers had done. For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree, and there were also sodomites in the land. And they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. amongst God's people? Yes. So in Rehoboam's day, likewise, in the day of Asa, if you turn from there to chapter 15, just a page over. Asa, by the way, being the third king of Judah, he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. His son, Jehoshaphat, the fourth king of Judah, likewise fought against this great sin. In chapter 15 and verse 22, verse 12, we were there. Chapter 22, 1 Kings 22 and verse 46. 1 Kings 22 and verse 46. And the remnant of the Sodomites, which remained in the days of his father Asa, he took out of the land. More there present. That's looking at the days of the third king of Judah and the fourth king of Judah. If we proceed to the days of Josiah, the king, he was the 16th, the boy king. He was the 16th king of Judah. And so we have to turn to find the things that are spoken of him. 2 Kings 23 now. Verse 7. What did he do? He broke down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. By the house of the Lord. It is suggested that this activity of sodomy, which had been borrowed from the heathens, that is, using of the male prostitute in worship, had been taken up amongst God's people. How did that happen? That's going to be the topic of the sermon next week, Lord willing. We were going to talk about the one cup doctrine. We'll delay that, Lord willing, for a week. And next week we'll talk about how do people become so confused that they will engage in a sin like unto homosexuality. How? Again, the key is what God taught in Romans chapter 1. But this sin is found amongst God's people. How did that happen? If you go to chapter 22, 2 Kings 22, you find that the priest went into the house of God and he found the book of the law. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of God. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan and he read it. That book then in turn was read to the king, King Josiah. And the Bible says, Go ye inquire of the Lord for me and for the people, for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. This is verse 13. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to all that which is written concerning us. The word of God was lost. They weren't following it. How is it that people become so confused that they would engage in a sin like unto homosexuality or really any sin as you get to the end of Romans chapter 1, turning away from the Word of God? So, God strictly forbids homosexuality. It was forbidden in patriarchal times, under the patriarchal law. It was forbidden under the law of Moses, likewise under the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicator, nor idolater, nor adulterer, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Stop there. The effeminate King James Version, the New King James Version, and New American Standard Bible both say homosexual. The abusers of themselves with mankind, that phrase in the King James is translated both in the New American Standard and the New King James as sodomites. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicator, nor idolater, nor adulterer, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. Strictly forbidden in God's law. These will not inherit the kingdom of God. The English Standard Version, if you happen to use that, replaces both effeminate and abuses themselves with mankind and reads, man or men who practice homosexuality. What does God say it is? He says it's sin. How long has he said thus? Always. Always. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 and 21. 19 to 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and if that doesn't cover it, and the such like, of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5, verses 19 to 21. And yes, fornication does include the act of sodomy. And Romans chapter 1, verse 18. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God was manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Why? Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and to creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God also gave them over to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, disobedient to parents, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which do such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Romans 1, verses 18 to 32. And verse 24, for this cause, or wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So I wonder about the word uncleanness there in Romans 1 and verse 24. In Ephesians 5 and verse 3, we read of fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, and we're told, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. What? Uncleanness. It's mentioned again in Colossians 3 and verse 5. It's not to be part of our character. In fact, as Christians, really not to be part of the character of any of mankind or womankind. Uncleanness. What is it? Well, maybe we talk about cleanness. If one was to flee fornication, to flee adultery, to flee homosexuality, to flee from filthy stories and the such like, that would be morally clean behavior. Involvement of any of those or the such like would be morally unclean behavior. These were given up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And I wondered about that. Dishonoring their own bodies between themselves. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18, the apostle says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Brother Mike Willis, in his commentary and commenting on this, he says, no other sin so thoroughly assaults the idea that the body is for the Lord as does the sin of fornication. I believe he's right. Because in such, you're joined to a harlot. In such, you're joined to a sodomite. And not to the Lord. We are to be one with the Lord. We are to use our bodies for His glory. And the very next verse tells us what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. You can't do that in fornication. Under the New Testament, God also says that homosexuality is sin. They were given up to vile affections. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Romans 1 and verse 26. That which is vile. Webster says that vile is morally based or evil. You want to know what God says about sin? You want to know what to say to your fellow man that might be of this persuasion? Just say what God says about it. There are some words like vile, dishonoring their own bodies, unnatural, without natural affection, also in verse 31. But that which is vile, they were given over to vile affections. Vile, Webster says, is morally base or evil, wicked, depraved, sinful, offensive to the senses or sensibilities, repulsive, disgusting. Pretty apt description then, fitting description of the sodomite. They were given over to vile affections. Now, affections, whether good or bad, are the wants and desires. And affections might point toward a passionate desire, good or bad. But God's record says that these were vile affections. Therefore, their wants and their desires were morally based. They were evil, wicked, depraved, sinful, offensive to the senses or sensibilities, repulsive, disgusting. That was their desires. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Romans 1, 26 to 27. Homosexuality is unnatural. It's unnatural. It's not the normal and characteristic use. It's not what was designed by God for the family unit. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, when God looked on the first man named Adam, the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." There was not a help found for him. So the Bible tells us in Genesis 2 and verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof and made he a woman. It's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a suitable help. Verse 18. And what was it? It was a woman. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 19? He was quoting Genesis chapter 2 and the end of the chapter. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Man and wife. Not men with men. Not Ken and Ken and Barbie and Barbie. It's not natural. The woman was the suitable help. It's not natural. The parts that are involved in sodomy were not designed for that purpose. It's not natural. That's pretty graphic, I know. But it's not natural. It's not of natural design. For the individual that is termed homosexual to desire that sort of relationship with one of the same sex as themselves, as defined by Webster in the introduction to the sermon today, it's not natural. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 2, "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and every woman her own husband." Not let every man have his own man or woman her own woman. To avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the man render unto the wife due benevolence, likewise also the wife unto the husband. For the wife hath not power over her own body, but the man. Likewise the woman hath not power, or likewise the man hath not power over his own body, but the woman. Defraud ye not one another, unless it be with consent for a season, that you may give yourselves to fasting and to prayer, and come together again, lest Satan tempt you not because of your incontinency, lest your lack of self-control. That's God's design. The other, that is women and women, it is unnatural. Children do not arise from men marrying with men, nor women marrying with women. It is unnatural. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving that recompense of their error, which was meat. They burned in their lust. It wasn't sober thought, but rather a burning and a lusting. God says it's unseemly. There's a short answer. Why don't you believe that homosexuality is okay? God says it's unseemly. Romans 1 and verse 27. Webster defines unseemly as not decent or proper. Webster defines unseemly as unbecoming or improper. So homosexuality is conduct unbecoming, not just of Christians, but any member of humanity is conduct unbecoming. Unseemly, the King James says unseemly in Romans 1:27. The New American Standard Bible says indecent acts. The New King James says committing what is shameful. And yes, it is. That's what they did, because they burned in their lust one toward another, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. Now, I taught school for a little while, but if it's an error, it's wrong. Yeah. If it's an error, it's wrong. If homosexuality then is error, then it is wrong. There's another short answer. God says it's wrong. It's error. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And so I wondered about that reprobate mind. You know what Webster says about reprobate? Reprobate is unprincipled. Reprobate is totally bad, corrupt, depraved. And depraved is defined as morally bad, corrupt, perverted. They were given over to a reprobate mind. Therefore, their mind was perverted. It was a corrupt mind that prompted these actions, not a sober mind. Thus, we find homosexuality. And then lastly, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. King James seems to lessen the offense. Not convenient in our day and time, our parlance, that seems pretty light, right? It's just not convenient. The New American Standard Bible says not proper. American Standard Version 1901 and both the New King James say not fitting. And certainly it's not. It's not fitting. Homosexuality, whether it be the gay or the lesbian or the bisexual, it is not fitting. It is not proper. To close, they were given over to a reprobate mind to show the depraved heart which stems, or from which homosexuality, sodomy, lesbianism stems. Let's think back on Genesis 19. I'm not going to read it again. You know Genesis 19 as well as I do. Think back on the individuals of Sodom and Gomorrah. But there's another record of similar works in Judges chapter 19. The story is told of a Levite, and he had a concubine, and she left him to go back to her father's house and was there 4 months, and he went after her. And while there in the father's house, the father of his concubine, he bade him to stay a number of days. But when they departed, and he would stay no longer, he departed, and they passed by Jerusalem, but he wouldn't stop there, even though his servant prompted him to do such, Jebus, I believe the Bible calls it, which is Jerusalem in the verses. Because at that time, Jerusalem was held by the Jebusites, and they weren't going to stop in a city held by the people of the land. So they went on to the city of Gibeah. And there we pick up and we find the man, this Levite, and he's sitting in the streets because no one has taken him into their house. And he's there in the streets. Now, I guess it's coming up to you in the evening. No one has showed him hospitality. And an old man comes from the field and he shows hospitality. And he brings the man into his house. Brings the man into his house. Prepares a meal for them. And the Bible says, Genesis 19:22, now as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, beset the house round about and beat at the door and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring forth the man that came into thine house, that we may know him. The same disgusting desire of Genesis chapter 19. To make it worse, the Levite's concubine is sent out to them, and they raped her all night long until morning, and they let her go, and she died when she got back to the house and fell at the door. Do you see the depravity of the heart from which stems homosexuality? There's more to that story you can read on. We find in Judges 20 and 21 that the Benjamites are almost completely wiped out because of their actions. The children of Israel rise up against them and nearly cure them out completely. And their actions aren't all spotless either, nor are the actions of the Levite. And I don't understand the Levite nor the old man sending the woman out to such perverted souls, nor the idea of Lot and the two daughters in Genesis 19. I don't understand all that, but I know God is just, and the word of God calls Lot a righteous man in the New Testament. But nonetheless, the depraved heart of the homosexual. God will judge homosexuals for their sins. And Jude, in verse 7, the Bible says, and I read, "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." Jude, verse 7. Go back to Romans chapter 1 and verse 28. "Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which do such things, which commit such things, are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." God will judge the homosexuals. But notice verse 32 of Romans chapter 1. "Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." American Standard Version 1901 says, "Consent with them that practice them." So all of those sins, in which also we find the discussion leading into that, and that was the things of homosexuality, consent with them that practice them. New American Standard Bible says, "Give hearty approval to those who practice them." New King James says, "Approve of those who practice them." So how does that affect you and me? "Oh, I like that TV program. Guess who the star is? Some homosexual." Really? You like that program? Are you giving approval then? You have friends who are of that ilk. You vote in support of such things. Are you giving approval? Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Give hearty approval to, consent with them, approve of those who practice them. You have family members that are that way and do nothing to try and teach them otherwise. To say to them, God forbids homosexuality. He has always forbidden homosexuality. Beware. God will judge the homosexual. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. What are they worthy of? Death. Separation from God. No fellowship with God. "And in the judgment cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, farthest away from him who is the light. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous in the life eternal." Matthew 25, 46 and 25 and verse 30. If we think or act like sin is okay, we're condemned with them. So be careful. From a wicked mind stems wicked acts. Or a wicked act stem from a wicked mind. The Bible says in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, "As he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Jesus says in Mark chapter 7 and verse 21, "For from within, from the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." Mark 7, 21 to 30. Let us be godly individuals. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination, the Bible says in Leviticus 18 and verse 22. And you know what the first of the chapter says? The first of the chapter, Leviticus 18, is a pretty rough chapter to read. But the first few verses say, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. After the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, ye shall not do. Neither shall you walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord." The first five verses of Leviticus 18. Let us be godly individuals. Let's have the proper respect for God and spiritual things. Jesus says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind." Matthew 22 and verse 37. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, Solomon says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." David says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." You know, we don't learn sin from God. In Ephesians chapter 4, the apostle says, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you've heard him, been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." We don't learn sin from God. "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning." Sin is from the devil. 1 John 3 and verse 8. From God we have extended toward us love and mercy and grace. And we have that through the sacrifice of his Son. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4 and verse 10. It is the blood of Christ that washes away sin. And yes, even the sin of homosexuality. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicator, nor idolater, nor adulterer, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. And such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. It is the blood of Christ that washes away sin. In Revelation 1 and verse 5, we're told of the Christ who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22 and verse 16.
Who at my door is standing, patiently drawing near, entrance within demand.